Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code POD to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code POD at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code POD.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Greetings and salutations. Welcome to the program. This is Bleav in Blazers on the Bleav Podcast Network. I'm your loving host, Peter Sampson. Great to be with you on a Friday. A lot to get to today. NBA draft chatter is in full swing. Of course, we have the conference finals. We'll talk about that just a little bit. And of course, a little bit of coaching news in the NBA. Of course, last time we talked about Chauncey Billups. Is he possibly on his way out? It looks like no, but is there maybe a little bit of a disconnect between Billups and his camp and maybe what the front office for the Trailblazers wants to do? I think so, but a little bit more coaching news. We'll talk about JB Bickerstaff later, but right off the bat, yesterday, Thursday morning, Portland Trail Blazers worked out their first group of guys at the practice facility in Tualatin. Got word on that from the team yesterday morning. Maybe it was Wednesday night. I think it was actually that they announced who they were going to be working out, or at least that they were going to be working out guys so we could get down there. I did not get down there to the practice facility. I had stuff going on, but the team did work out a handful of guys, and it's an interesting group. I mean, you can't really take away too much from this group of players. I mean, because so many dudes are going to walk through this door here in the next couple weeks. And the Blazers, every team really at this point, doing their due diligence, looking at guys they're not necessarily going to draft. You're looking at dudes who are maybe going to go undrafted, guys that other teams are going to draft. And you're basically kind of filing things away for, you know, trades, for free agency, for two-way contracts, everything. So with that, you got Raekwon Battle from West Virginia, Adam Bona from UCLA, Arthur Kaluma from Kansas State, Ugana Onyensu from Kentucky, Will Richard from Florida, Jalen Tyson from Cal. Now, that's an interesting group because I think only one or maybe two of those guys are even going to be drafted. I do think that Jalen Tyson out of Cal, he's probably, I don't know, I've got him as a second rounder early in the second round. I mean, I think it's possible that maybe a team falls in love with him and takes him late in the first. But then Adam Bona, I don't think he's going to get drafted at all. I mean, maybe in the second, you know, you can't teach size. You know, someone's going to be like, well, you know, we'll take a flyer on him, stick him in the G League for 2 years and we'll see what happens. Okay. So maybe he'll get chosen as well. But you look at Battle and Kaluma and Onyenso and Richard. These are guys that they're doing these workouts and they're getting the feedback right now to decide, like, should they even stay in the draft or should they go back to school? Because if you recall, and I don't remember what year they changed this. I remember when it changed, but I don't remember what year that was. Because it used to be if you declared for the draft, that's it. And now they give you that withdrawal deadline. I don't know. It's been what, like 7, 10 years now that you've been allowed to do that? I don't know. I could be tripping. Maybe it's only been 5. Maybe it's been 15. Could not tell you anymore. But I can tell you that the withdrawal deadline this year is May 29th. So it is in less than a week. So these are some guys who are looking to make some decisions, get some feedback from teams, from their agent, from everyone. Like, hey, man, do I have a future here? Do I need to go back to school and try again next year? That being said, these guys, if they even do stay in the draft, and I don't predict that many will, they're probably going to be undrafted free agents. And at that point, you're looking to maybe catch on in summer league. You're looking to catch on in training camp. We see that every year with the Blazers. There's a couple young guys they give a shot to. And then some of them end up on that two-way deal now that you have the Remix here in Portland. And it makes a lot more sense to sort of maximize that, you know, now that you have your own G League squad under control. So the Blazers work these guys out. I did not. Obviously, the media, we don't get to see the workouts or anything like that. The Portland Trail Blazers do have a pair of second-round picks, number 34, number 40, I think it is. I don't know that they're going to keep both these picks just because, look, you have 4 picks in next month's draft. You literally don't even have that many roster spots unless you make some moves that clear them out. Certainly moves are going to be made. We'll talk about that this summer as well. But I don't know that they're going to keep both of them. If they do, I mean, you have a couple two-way spots that you can fill. Not exactly sure how that's going to work out for Portland. But what I do appreciate is that they're doing their due diligence, right? This is how you, again, see things sort of pay dividends a couple years down the road. Let's say one of these guys, you know, there's something you like from him, but you go like, look, you're just not there yet. I do like your potential in this aspect. They go back to school for a year, they go undrafted, and then, you know, they play in the G League for a year, and all of a sudden you go like, hey, remember that dude? We worked him out. I really liked this. We can go ahead and bring him into to training camp now, or we can sign him to that 15th roster spot or that two-way roster spot. And maybe we can get something out of this guy. And you see that happen. That's what the Blazers are doing now. Frankly, that's what every team is doing right now. And there's going to be a lot of it. So, you know, don't get so attached to Ugonna Onyensu or someone like that or Will Richard. Because, look, it's not going to happen. It's not right now anyway. I wouldn't bet on it. Now watch, I'm going to say that and they're going to end up drafting one of these dudes, you know, Arthur Kaluma or something like that is going to be taken 40th overall, but I just don't see it happening at this point, especially with the Blazers, frankly. Yeah, you have 2 second round picks, but again, you're already over the salary cap and you don't have enough roster spots and you have 4 draft picks. How are you going to reconcile all that? And I mean, yeah, okay, we're going to move off some salary. Well, are you going to move off salary? Because, you know, there are trade rules. And, you know, when you're over the cap like that, you know, you got to essentially, not exactly, but essentially match salary and coming out going. Yes, there's the NBA trade exceptions, but then at that point you can't combine players. There's a whole bunch of really convoluted rules that go into this. Kind of a tough situation for Portland. Gonna be really interesting to see what they do. And at the end of the day, next month, when the 2024 NBA draft takes place, I don't see them making all 4 picks. I just don't. I don't even know that I see them making both first round picks. Now, the 7th overall pick, you're probably using that. I mean, maybe there's a chance that if you're the Blazers, you've fallen in love with one of these quote unquote top prospects in this draft. And no one really has a ton of good intel on what the other teams are going to do, right? Because there's no clear-cut number one. I mean, I know I'm pretty confident Alex Sarr is going to go number one to the Atlanta Hawks. I mean, that's a pretty safe bet. But after that, then what? I mean, okay, so you have, you know, Topic, you have Klingon, you have, you know, the French kids, a couple of them. I mean, there's so many different sort of permutations of this draft that if you're the Blazers and, like, let's just say that you really love X player and you want to make sure you got him. You think he's going to be there at 7, but you can guarantee he'll be there at 5. Or you feel at least a lot more confident he'll be there at 5 or at 4. Like, you know, the Pistons hold the 5th spot. They need help everywhere. Why not give them 2 picks? You know, I mean, that's a team that might be willing to do that. They might not. And then if you're Portland, you can jump up those couple spots and you can grab whoever. I sort of wouldn't be shocked if that's something that Portland looks at next month in the draft. I also wouldn't be shocked if they just take 2 different guys, because look, I say the Pistons need help everywhere. Well, kind of, so do the Blazers, right? I mean, the backcourt, you don't really need any more guards, but you also assume you're moving off Malcolm Brogdon, who in theory is a 28, you know, minute per game guy for you. So in theory, those minutes are going to open up a little bit. Of course, you know, Scoot's going to play more. Shane Sharp hopefully going to play a whole lot more, but you still need backup guards, right? I don't know that you want to burn a lottery pick on a guy that you're hoping is a career backup though. Like, I see the Donovan Klingon stuff, and I think he'll be fine in the NBA. I don't think he'll be a bust. I don't think he's going to be great. I think he's going to be a pretty one-dimensional center who's pretty darn good at that dimension, right? Like, he's big and he rolls to the rim with authority. He can block shots, and it's not just because of his size, it's positioning as well, all that stuff. But at the same time, like, what else does he do? Not a lot. And does he fit in the modern game? Maybe. I mean, maybe the NBA's gotten smaller and positionless, but also we're seeing a little bit of a trend back to some of the bigger centers, right? And I'm not even talking about Wembanyama, who's completely positionless, but, like, you know, Joel Embiid and guys like that. We're kind of back to these big guys. And to be clear, I'm not comparing him to Joel Embiid, who can step back, hit the 3, is a superstar, led the league in scoring, yada, yada, yada. No. He's a much more traditional, just big lumbering center. I think he'll be pretty good at that stuff. But is he worth burning the 7th pick on? I don't necessarily think so. But then again, also, would it be shocking if he's not even available? No, I think he's sort of expected to go top 5, right? And that's all the confusion with this draft is, you know, exactly where are these guys going to go? No one really has any intel. Now, is that going to change? A little bit, but not to the degree that every other draft in the last 15 or 20 years has sort of been, where we just kind of know how it's going to shake out. And there are 2 or 3 maybe kind of whoa moments. I mean, you think back to the Anthony Bennett draft. What was that, 2012? Like, that's kind of the last time where there's this potential for, oh my gosh, what? You might see that next month. So the Blazers have a couple picks here. It's going to be interesting to see. I really am not leaning one way or the other with what they're going to do. I'm not exactly sure what they're thinking. I know they're weighing all their options right now. And GMs in general are kind of forced to look at this draft as an opportunity, because I mean, that's what you say when something kind of sucks, right? Look, you got to be positive. You can't come out and be like, yeah, this draft sucks, and we took this player, and yeah, now you're on our team, but we didn't really want you, and you got to take somebody. So instead, what do you call it? Well, this is an opportunity. We're going to do our due diligence. We think there are diamonds in the rough, and this is where our scouting department really shines. Yeah, that's what every team is saying. You know why? Because this draft kind of sucks. Yes, there will be good players taken. Yes, there will be an all-star in the first round. Yes, someone in the second round will end up popping and being an NBA starter, a very good player. But there's so much uncertainty. There's no, you know, there's no Anthony Edwards at the top. There's no Luka Doncic. There's no just big number one. I say that, that's funny. Luka was not taken number one, even though he should have been. It was DeAndre Ayton. But I think this is where, in this draft, you'll see scouting departments sort of separate themselves, you know, the wheat from the chaff, where the elite value seeking guys, you know, when you think of a, you know, Mike Schmitz for Portland, you know, well known as a draft guru, obviously, with his background. Like, this is sort of the draft where he gets to really show what he's made of. And I think he's done well so far. I've seen some chatter online, you know, sort of trying to maybe flip the narrative on Schmitz a little bit and say, like, well, really, are we sure? I mean, look, Scoot, you know, all his questions. Shaedon Sharpe hasn't played much. And, you know, Chris, okay, so first of all, stop with all that. Shaedon Sharpe has shown incredible upside, elite upside. I'm talking multiple time all-star upside. Scoot, I'm not worried about Scoot. We've beaten that horse to death. I'm not going to do it again. We all know what we saw this season. We also know what we saw over the last month or 2 months. And we know what we saw over the last 10 days. Not worried about it. But, you know, you look at the rest of the draft picks he's made. Jabari Walker, you know, when he drafted Jabari Walker, I was like, huh, well, whatever. You got to take somebody. I didn't see it with him, but here we are. And Jabari Walker's turned himself into a legit NBA role player. I mean, it helps that he's with the Blazers and there's sort of a lack of talent and he was able to get those minutes. But look, at a certain point, you got to do what you can with those minutes. You have to produce, right? And he has. Chris Murray, the only one that I sort of question so far, but even Murray has come on a little bit in the second half and especially in the final third of the season when he began starting, when Billups just threw him out there as the team was just trying to play their young guys. I mean, Murray did not have a good rookie year, but, you know, Rayon Rupert, clearly a project. They made no secret about that Rupert was a project and was a multi-year guy. But you look at the raw tools that he has, his physical abilities, and you go, man, I can see why you took this guy. So I think that Schmidt so far has really sort of lived up to his reputation. And this is a draft here in 2024 where the guys that can really do that, those excellent, excellent scouts or departments, I should say, it's not just one scout, but this is where they're really going to make their bones. So we'll see how it goes. Going to be an interesting draft next month for the Portland Trail Blazers. All right.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code POD to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code POD at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code POD.
Making your cat happy is a number one priority. Priority number two is keeping a clean litter box. Fresh Step Outstretch litter helps you do both. Fresh Step Outstretch litter traps waste at the surface with less crumbles and absorbs more waste and odor compared to Fresh Step Multicat. Find Fresh Step Outstretch litter at a store near you today. Fresh Step is a registered trademark of the Clorox Pet Products Company. Certain trademarks used under license from the Procter & Gamble Company or its affiliates.
When raising a Pacifico beer with friends you just met turns into hitting up their friend's local art show, getting inspired to create something together, and painting your first mural, you found what was waiting for you. Pacifico. Life's waiting. 21 plus only. Discover responsibly. Pacifico Clara Beer. Imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today we discuss technical diagramming with systems architect Maya. Let's go. First question. You've spent 10 hours slogging over a sequence diagram that should have taken 5. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board. And if I'm being honest, Miro would probably cut that time down by half. You know, with its AI tools and ready-to-go templates.
Next, your diagrams become so bulky, it's more complex than the solar system. But all it takes is a few clicks and...
It's Miro. I've used those technical shape packs way too many times.
Now, the final question. Everyone's brought in, but you have to make all these tasks all the way over in Jira. But wait, it's done. Is it...
Miro, easy with its two-way Jira sync. Easy to plot dependencies. Everyone always knows what's up.
And she's done it.
For a limited time, visit Miro.com/diagram now and get a free business plan trial to unlock even more features like advanced shapes, dependency mapping, and two-way Jira syncing. Get started today at Miro.com/diagram now.
Okay, let's talk the rest of the league. Conference finals underway. Been interesting here. Wolves, Mavs. We'll talk about that because game two is tonight. Dallas, man, how much does this team remind you of the 2012 Mavs, right? A decent team that caught fire late under their superstar, six seed, bangs through a couple rounds. And I mean, that team won it all. Jason Kidd, Dallas coach, played on that team with Dirk. The similarities are uncanny. And of course, the Timberwolves, I did not like. Look, the Timberwolves are so fun. And I did not like what Anthony Edwards said after game one, where he's like, I don't know, I think maybe we were just tired or something. Like, bro, this is the Western Conference Finals. You cannot be tired. That is not an excuse. That's an excuse for a rando back-to-back in February on the road. Like, oh, man. Yeah, it was a little close. Or we lost to Charlotte a day after taking on the Magic at the end of a five-game roadie. We're tired. No, absolutely not. This is put up or shut up time. So far, they have put up. And, I mean, look, you can't even necessarily blame that loss on the Wolves. I mean, they could have played better and struggled a little bit. But, I mean, credit to Dallas. Luka did Luka things when it mattered. Kyrie Irving, by the way, this is really interesting, the way he's sort of reshaping the narrative that is built up around him over the last couple years. Not to say it was unfair, because it wasn't. But for the most part, he's really fit in. And, you know, a couple years ago when they made that trade, I sat in front of a microphone doing sports radio on my show, and I said, Dallas will regret this. He is going to ruin that team. Ultimately, a couple years from now, Luka Doncic is going to leave. And you can point to this trade and bringing in this troublemaker, this mercurial guy, as the starting place for that. Yeah, well, so far, I could not be more wrong. And it's really worked out. It was a little iffy at first. They didn't play much together, the injuries and whatnot. But now, look, those guys are humming. And here they are, up 1-0 in the Western Conference Finals. On the East side, man, Pacers, Celtics. The Celtics are wild to me. Like, I've never had any doubt that they were going to come out of the East. They're clearly the best team, even without Kristaps Porzingis. But man, the last couple years in the playoffs at home, really underwhelming, right? And they almost were again game one against the Pacers, except for a couple things. The Pacers at the end of regulation, that they lost that game in overtime, turned it over multiple times in the last 30 seconds. Also, and I'm not going to be blame referees guy. I refuse to do that. Pacers should have won that game. But look, the free throw disparity in that game was 30-10 Celtics to Pacers. And that still went OT where Indiana lost. So look, this is a team that knows they gave one away. They know that they should have been up 1-0 and have ripped home court advantage from Boston. They didn't do it. They let it go. Jaylen Brown hits the big time shot with, 6 seconds left in regulation there. And they go down 1-0. Now they are down 2-0 with a much more conventional beat down loss at the Garden. And man, the hits keep coming for the Pacers after that 30-10 free throw disparity. In game two, Tyrese Haliburton looked like he re-aggravated that hamstring. Remember, he hurt his hamstring in the middle of the season. It was a nagging thing. It looked really bad. He managed to come back after not a crazy extended period of time, but he sort of had to manage that all year long. Tyrese looks like he tweaked that, and he's the engine that makes the Pacers go. If they don't have him, they were dead anyway, but now they are dead if they don't have Haliburton for the rest of this series. So really entertaining conference finals so far. I really enjoyed the playoffs. You know, covering a team, especially this year, being on truly the Blazers beat, going to every game, being there, you know, being in the press room, all that. Like, it is a long season, bro. And I know you hear us guys say that, and it's like, oh, yeah, keep complaining. Oh, wah, I get paid to go to the games. Oh, woe is me. And you know what? You're right. Like, you're totally right. But, man, I'll tell you what. Covering a team that wins 21 games, and it's April 8th or whatever, and all the late nights and writing until 1 in the morning, you're just like, I can go 6 months without watching another NBA game. I'm ready for a break. That's why I love baseball. That's why I watch tons of baseball. You know why? I don't have to have an opinion on it. Never have. Even in the sports radio days. Oh, what do you think about the Seahawks? What do you think about the Ducks? What do you think about this and that? And I have to have an opinion. What do you think about the Blazers? Baseball, no one cares. No one cares. I watch it just because I like it. And it's great. So been doing a lot of that. And but with basketball, it's a grind. It's a grind. The covering, it is a grind. But I'll tell you, watching good basketball, watching, you know, a team that is, you know, playing together, winning, cohesive, even better, watching 16 teams that are doing that. It's been really, really entertaining this season. So, I mean, if you're looking for my prediction, if you had asked me, you know, a couple weeks ago, I would have said the Wolves are going to the finals. They still might. I kind of like the way the Mavs are playing right now. They just remind me of that Mavericks team from a dozen years ago. And I just think that they have the best player in Luka Doncic. Yeah, I know Anthony Edwards. Yeah, I know the Wolves defense. But I just think in the playoffs, the best player sort of takes over. I think Kyrie is playing really well. I think guys like Gafford and Lively are stepping up in big time situations. I just really like Dallas. Now, would it shock me if the Timberwolves make the finals? No, not at all. Best defense in the NBA. They have, as everyone in the new media likes to call, the new face of the NBA, because that matters and that's something we need to quantify in Anthony Edwards. Would it shock me? No. And of course, it's always going to have been the Celtics coming out of the East. The only difference is all season long, I said it was going to be the Denver Nuggets coming out of the West, which obviously it is not. But it's been entertaining. It's been fun. I've enjoyed it. And it's interesting too. Man, just getting to the playoffs, not good enough necessarily. Even winning a series, not good enough necessarily. The Cavaliers fire JB Bickerstaff. That's tough. That's tough. Because here's a dude who's won 99 games in the last two seasons, in his two seasons. That's 50 and 49, right? 99 wins in two seasons. Yeah, you're gone. You are done. And I know what that comes down to. It comes down to, we need to keep Donovan Mitchell happy. And immediately, and by immediately, I mean within, 45, 50 minutes of them being eliminated, the reports about Mitchell and is he going to stay, is he happy, came out. And I can tell you, you want a little inside? This is the reason you listen to podcasts and things by people in the media. I'll give you a little inside. Stuff was put out by his team intentionally. I can tell you at Clutch Points, we had the pre-write and the call came from within the house. Okay? So if you made it this far in this podcast, there you go. There's a little dirt for you. I know for a fact that that happened. And I know for a fact that it happened at other media organizations too, because we weren't the only ones who published within 45 minutes. Also, The Athletic has theirs and ESPN has theirs. And it's all the same. Like, is Donovan Mitchell happy? What's going to go on with Bickerstaff? All that. And then what happens? This is so funny how it works. And then Mitchell comes out and says, y'all are crazy saying I want to leave. This is nuts. You guys drive the narrative. You do all this. Just leave it alone. So he gets to be the good guy too. And I'm not saying that he's the one that planted that info. I'm saying his team is. For all I know, he had no information on it. I don't know. I didn't talk to him. But what I do know is that this stuff was already done before they were eliminated. That as soon as they're out, publish, click, 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 you know. So regardless, JB Bickerstaff gone, Donovan Mitchell staying. So who's going to take over? James Borrego is the leader. From what I'm hearing, he's also the leader if you bet on those things, which you should not. But James Borrego, who is the associate head coach with the Pelicans, he spent time in Charlotte, and he's he's a player development guy. That's really what he's known for, player development. Kenny Atkinson, Warriors assistant, is also getting consideration. He, of course, knows, you know, Jared Allen from the Nets days. But I think the real question with the Cavs is, can Darius Garland and Donovan Mitchell coexist? Both great players, right? But ultimately, I just don't know that that backcourt works. Now, they could get something pretty solid for Darius Garland, I think. They really could get something for Mobley, but I know they love Evan Mobley, as they should. So ultimately, they have some decisions to make. Who's going to lead that team? Are they going to split Garland and Mitchell up, which they should? But it just goes to show, man, you win a playoff series and you're still out of a job. And JB Bickerstaff, he was imperfect. he rode Mitchell and Garland to a lesser degree into the ground. The offense stagnated around them. And, you know, it was a flawed team. But ultimately, they played good defense. They had a good roster. And the results speak for themselves. They won a series. They made the second round. That's good. I mean, you know, watching the Blazers night in, night out, I would kill for that. But here we are. All right. We're going to call it for this week. Be back next week. We'll talk more NBA draft, Portland Trail Blazers. You can follow me on Twitter, X, whatever you want to call that trash heap of a website, at Peter Sampson, S-A-M-P-S-O-N. This has been Believe in Blazers on the Believe Podcast Network.
When raising a Pacifico beer with friends you just met turns into hitting up their friend's local art show, getting inspired to create something together, and painting your first mural, you found what was waiting for you. Pacifico. Life's waiting. 21 plus only. Discover responsibly. Pacifico Clara Beer. Imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn on what you want, like trying out that new workout class, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like a foam roller for your sore muscles. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
Making your cat happy is a number one priority. Priority number two is keeping a clean litter box. Fresh Step Outstretch Litter helps you do both. Fresh Step Outstretch Litter traps waste at the surface with less crumbles and absorbs more waste and odor compared to Fresh Step Multicat. Find Fresh Step Outstretch Litter at a store near you today. Fresh Step is a registered trademark of the Clorox Pet Products Company. Certain trademarks used under license from the Procter & Gamble Company or its affiliates.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today, we talk brainstorms with UX designer Brian. Let's go. First question. You thought you'd see everyone's idea in the team brainstorm, but you've got a grand total of one. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board. In Miro, the team can add ideas now or later. And with privacy mode, we can keep them anonymous until they're good to share.
Correct. Next, you need the best way to explain your idea, but all you have is a few sticky notes. Drawing board or Miro board?
Drawing board. In Miro, I could record videos, add text, images, links, and digital sticky notes, of course.
Right again. Now, you're looking for a past idea you thought was just genius. Only you could find... Oh, there it is. Drawing board or...
Miro. All our finished and unfinished work lives in one place.
And he's won.
For a limited time, visit Miro.com/brainstorm now and get a free business plan trial to unlock even more brainstorming tools like private mode and voting. That's Miro.com/brainstorm now.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.